Back here. Sorry about last week. My voice, I lost it. I just got it back like 95%. So Baruch Hashem, doing better. It was important to rest. We're continuing on these topics of Birchas Kohanim. And I guess I'll ask you, if any suggestions along the lines of Kuna, send the chat in, or you can email me for any suggestions on these topics of either Birchas Kohanim or Kedushas Kuna, and we'll see if we could address it. I was considering, I spoke to Rabbi Shabtai this morning, I was considering even doing one Q&A, maybe one of these days, a Q&A over any topic. We could talk about, it could be halachic topic, it could be personal questions, just maybe a nice 30 minutes to get to know each other. I've been learning with you guys the past several months, you know, from the summer and Elozman and now. It would be nice to get to know each other even more. I come in and leave after 30 minutes. So these are just some thoughts. If you have any comments on that, you could put in the chat or reach out to me and let me know. So I was considering that for next week, maybe, but let me know if you have any comments on that. So let's begin today's topic. Today's topic is about Kedushas Kuna. It comes up in the Siman Kuf Chaf Ches, which we've been learning, which is about Birchas Kohanim, but there the Mechaber touches upon a halacha of how to show proper kavod to a Kohen, not to misuse him, not to use his services. So I figured we'd focus in on a particular Shaila. Perhaps the answer will be obvious right from the beginning, but let's just walk through the sources and see how we get to the answer, at least. And the question I want to focus on is, can a parent ask their child, the family is Kohanim, so the parents are Kohanim, the father at least is a Kohen, and his child is also a Kohen. So can the parent ask the child, the Kohen, to do chores? Can you ask him to take out the garbage? We're going to see, it's certain types of chores that are bizonos, that are disgraceful for a person to do, you should not ask a Kohen to do. So maybe a parent has no right to ask a child to take out the garbage, wash the dishes, and other types of chores. So let's go through that halacha from that particular angle. So let's start off with an interesting Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and then a stira to that Gemara in Maseches Megillah. So take a look at number one here. Number one, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah. It says in Yud Ches Amud Aleph, quotes a pasuk in Nach and Neviim, "V'lachei nishpati lebeis Eli," and therefore I swore, Beis Eli was cursed. The house of Eli was cursed. "Im yiskaper avon Beis Eli," if you want to have kapara, you want to have atonement for the averas of Beis Eli, you should be involved in bezevach uvemincha, which literally mean the karbanos of zvachim, the karbanos of menachos. That's what the pasuk means. If you want to have kapara for Beis Eli, you should be involved in bezevach uvemincha. Now the Gemara has a machlokes. Amar Rava, what does that mean? Bemincha uvezevach or bezevach uvemincha? Eino miskaper, aval miskaper b'torah. He understands the pasuk that you will not receive kapara through karbanos, through a zevach and through a mincha, but through Torah, through limud Torah, miskaper b'torah. The highest form of tshuva is through limud Torah. It's for another discussion, but tshuva ayyidei Torah is the highest level. So that's how a person can achieve kapara. That's what Rava said. Comes along Abaye. Abaye amar, bezevach u'mincha, means eino miskaper. One will not achieve kapara through karbanos. Aval miskaper b'torah u'begmilas chasadim. Abaye adds a very important element. Torah plus gemilas chasadim is what's going to provide kapara for the descendants of Beis Eli. So Gemara is a little bit of a gadata, a little maisa. The Rabba of Abaye made the Beis Eli ka'asu. Rabba and Abaye were both Kohanim. They came as direct descendants of Beis Eli. Rabba da'asik b'Torah. Rabba who learned Torah, he was chaya arban shana. He lives 40 years. The curse on Beis Eli was that the children won't live a long life. So Rabba lived a long life, at least for those standards, to the age of 40 because he was osik b'Torah. Abaye da'asik b'Torah u'begimilas chasadim. Abaye, not only did he learn, but he's also involved in various chasadim, chaya shisin shana. He lived for a total of 60 years. So that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So our focus is going to be on Shitas Rabba. Rabba was from Beis Eli. He was a Kohen. So the Gemara in Megillah Daf, Zayin Mabez tells us, it's talking about Shalach Manos. And in that context, the Gemara tells us, Rabba shadr lemari bar mar. Rabba sent Shalach Manos to his friend, to his chaver, whose name was Mari Bar Mar. How did he send it? Biyad Abaye. Parenthetically, there's an interesting discussion. I know Purim is right around the corner. we're a couple months away, so we're getting excited. At least, you know, here up in New York, that means Purim gets a little bit warmer outside. So it's freezing now. It was snowing the other day. So Purim is like an exciting milestone for the, at least the weather around here, in addition to the simcha that comes with it. But there's a discussion in the poskim whether you're supposed to send Shalach Manos to a shliach dafka sending a messenger. So it seems like Rabbo is makbid to send a messenger with Shalach Manos to Mar Bar Mar. He didn't directly deliver it, but he sent it. But who did he send it with? The Gemara says he sent it biyad Abaye, in the hands of Abaye. Abaye was the messenger. Abaye was the shliach, and he sent a nice basket of mali taska de kashva, umali kasa de kimcha davshuna, different types of dates and maybe corn or flour. He sent a nice package of Shalach Manos. Okay. So what's the question here? So the Prat Yosef asks on the back of the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, he says, I don't understand. Sarachin. Deha Abaye Hayakoin. We just learned above, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and this is echoed in the Gemara Chulin, that Abaye was a Kohen. Heyach Hishtamesh Bo Rabba. How is Rabba able to utilize the service of Abaye, who was a Kohen, to send him on a Shlichas? Deha Isa B'Yushalmi Brachos, Yushalmi tells us, HaMishtamesh B'Kuna Mo'al. Those learning Daf Yomi appreciate Me'ilah. We're in the middle of Sugyas of Me'ilah. Just like if you were to use a carbon for your personal benefit, you would violate Me'ilah. To use a Kohen as your Eved, as your servant, as your messenger, that's some form of a violation of Me'ilah. Not real Me'ilah, but it's tantamount to Me'ilah. So how could a Rabba send Abaye? Abaye was a Kohen. It's a violation of HaMishtamesh B'Kuna Mo'al. So Prat Yosef offers two different suggestions. Number one, he says, maybe, it's possible, we saw above that Rabba was also a Kohen. So both Rabba was the sender, and Abaye was the messenger. So Rabba and Abaye were both Kohanim. Efshir, says Prat Yosef, Mishum de Rabba gam ken haya Kohen, like the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, maybe it will be allowed Yisrael, or me, I'm a Levi to send the Kohen to do a message, or a mission, or a Yisrael to send the Kohen to do a mission, that would certainly be a problem. But a Kohen to a Kohen, Rabba to Abaye, that would be perhaps. Okay, so that's one explanation. So now, bring it back to our Shaila. So a parent to a child, well, that's a father Kohen to the child is a Kohen. So a Kohen to a Kohen would be acceptable. That would not be a violation according to this possible suggestion of the Prat Yosef. The second answer of the Prat Yosef is that maybe the difference here is Gam Yesh Lomar, the Rav im Talmido Shaini. A Rebbe and a Talmud is different. If they're two equals, if they're two friends, two neighbors, so me and my friend telling the Kohen, that's a problem. But if it's a Rebbe to a Talmud, so that would be okay, he suggests, and he brings a Gemara Ksubis to prove this point. So now one should say, possibly a father and a child. A mother and a child would have a similar relationship to a Rebbe and a Talmud. So just like a Rebbe could have a Talmud do a service for him, even though the Talmud's a Kohen, one would imagine that a parent could ask a child, although the child's a Kohen, to do a service as well. So these two suggestions, a Prat Yosef, either Kohen to Kohen, or Rebbe to Talmud, seemingly would explain why a parent could ask a child who's a Kohen to do service as well. Now look at this very interesting Mordechai at the end of Maseches Gittin. The Mordechai writes that there was a Maisa with a Kohen, Shiyotak Mayim Aidei Rabbeinu Tam. That there's a Kohen who is pouring water or collecting water for Rabbeinu Tam. Vik Shalot Talmud, there's a certain Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. He challenged his Rebbe. It's okay to challenge a Rebbe if it's respectful. So a certain Talmud challenged Rabbeinu Tam. We have a Yushalmi, Hashanin B'Yushalmi, like we saw above. That Mishtamish B'Kahuna, Mol. So Rebbe, how could you let the Kohen bring you water? It's a violation of Mishtamish B'Kahuna. V'heishiv lo, Rabbeinu Tam responded back, a very strange response. Ein behem kedusha bezman hazeh. Kohanim have no kedusha nowadays. They're no one special. They're no different than a Yisrael and a Levi. They're just like us. Why? The Kaim Alon we have, the Gemara that tells us, Bigdeyam aleim, kedusha aleim. V'lo, lo. You know when Kohanim have kedusha? When they wear begadim. When they have Bigdey Kuna. When there's a Beis HaMikdash for them to wear Bigdey Kuna, that's when they have kedusha. But nowadays, Bezman Hazeh, said Rabbeinu Tam, and certainly in our day and age, where there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then there's no Begadim, there is no Kedusha, and that's why Rabbeinu Tam felt it was permitted. And he just threw out the whole concept of showing honor to a Kohen. Now, the problem with this is, the Talmud then responded, Rebbe, Im kein, kol mina kedusha lo la'avid lu. You shouldn't do any kedusha to a kohen. Meaning, the kohen shouldn't get the first aliyah, the kohen shouldn't get the first piece of a chicken, the kohen shouldn't bench first, all these things. And that certainly is not the case. The Gemara in Gittin clearly says, we have to show honor to kohen, even bizman hazeh. V'shastuk Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was silent, he checkmate, he did not have a good response to this. We'll see later on that the Taz has an excellent response for Rabbeinu Tam, why he stayed quiet, but we'll leave that on the side for now. Either way, we assume bizman hazeh, the kohanim do have kedusha. This answer is not going to work for us, halach lemaisa. But Mordechai brings another suggestion. This is going to be perhaps the most important suggestion of using a kohen's service, bizman hazeh. Heshiva Rav Peter or Petra, I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, but a certain one of the Rishonim answered, Dinihi D'yesh Bem Kedusha, even though bizman hazeh, a kohen has full kedusha, Yachol Limchol, they're allowed to be mochel. They could forgo their own kavod. You have like a Talmud Chacham, for example. Talmud Chacham shouldn't do certain activities, but he can be mochel on his kavod. So too, a kohen can be mochel on his kavod. We have many instances where people can be mochel on the kavod. A parent can be mochel on the kavod. He brings a raya. How do we know a kohen can be mochel on the kavod? So there's a Gemara in Kedushin that says if a kohen is an Eved Ivri, and the time has come, and he's ready to go free, and he says, I want to stay longer. So normally, you do what he's a nirtza. You pierce the ear of the Eved Ivri, and he stays until the Yovel. But the Gemara says a kohen's not allowed to do that. Why not? Because when you pierce the ear of a kohen, you make him an Baal Mum. Okay, how he gets a Baal Mum, we won't explain why, but he's a Baal Mum by piercing his ear. So the Rabbeinu Peter says, I don't understand. Forget the question of Baal Mum. How could a kohen be an Eved Ivri in the first place? How is it allowed? That's being Mashamish Bukuna. So he answers, it must be that the kohen was mochel. He was mochel in his kavod, and he's allowed to be an Eved Ivri. But to be a nirtza, to get his ear pierced and become a Baal Mum, that much we won't allow. So that was the raya. Then Eved, in fact, can be provided service as long as he is mochel. So we saw a few suggestions. So now, how does it apply to a child? So a child is mochel. We assume the child appreciates his parents, and he's mochel b'davar. But let's say you have a child who's rebellious. The child says, I'm not mochel b'davar. He tells his parents, I learned in yeshiva. I'm a kohen. I'm a shamish b'kuna mo. I'm not mochel b'davar. So does he have any claim? Is that a good taina? That he says, I'm not washing the dishes. I'm not cleaning up after myself. I'm not taking out the garbage. I'm not mochel b'davar. Does that make any sense? So let's see how we pasuk. So look at the Shulchan Aruch number 5 here. Shulchan Aruch writes at the very, very end, Simen Kuf Chaf Ches is, again, this Simen we've been learning. At the very, very end of Simen Kuf Chaf Ches, there are around 40-something Se'ifim in this Simen. Mechaber writes clearly, Aser L'shtamish B'Kohen, you cannot use the services of a Kohen, Afilu B'Zman Hazeh, even though nowadays there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim still have Kedusha. Da'avi K'mo El B'Hektish, it's like taking and benefiting from Hektish. Unless the Kohen's Mochel B'davar. So if he's Mochel B'davar, so then we'd be allowed to. So that's the only heter that the Mechaber himself brings, that the Kohen is Mochel, you can utilize his service. Fine? And the Mishabur writes clearly in number 6 here, why is it K'mo B'Hektish? Because it says in the Pasuk, Sharei Nemar, the Kidashto, you have to sanctify the Kohen, Kies Lechem El Kecha Humakriv. He brings the bread of Hashem. He brings karbonos. He's a kohen. The kiddushah, you have to be mekadeshim. There's a machlokas in the Rishonim whether or not the mitzvah being mekadesh a kohen, showing honor, is a mitzvah deraisa or mitzvah derbanon, but certainly is a mitzvah of the kiddushah because he serves as the he brings our karbonos when the base of mekdash is built. V'yaf achshav, even nowadays, shein lanu karbonos b'kedushah so hayu omed, even though we don't have karbonos bizman hazeh. In the end of the day, he still stands with his Kedusha. Fine. I won't get into it right now, but the Rambam actually holds, again, as another side point, that even though Lamaisa, we don't bring Karbanos, there still is a obligation to bring Karbanos. You actually don't need a Beis HaMikdash to bring Karbanos. You just need to know where the Makom Mizbeach is. And the Makom Mizbeach exists. We just don't know where exactly it is, but it exists. So the Rambam holds it's a Chiv Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. And for that reason, Kohanim still have Kedusha. So therefore, a Kohen can't marry a Grusha, a Kohen can't be Matame Mesim, and therefore the Kedusha still stands. But again, if he's mochel, then you're allowed to use his service. So look at this very interesting, look at the interesting taz here. Right here, the paragraph of Kashali. We'll start from there. So we know right now that a Kohen has Kedusha. You need to respect him unless he's mochel. So very interesting question the taz asks. He says, Im nasa grusha, the din is, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, kofen oso shigarshena. We force him to divorce. Now, nowadays it's not so easy to enforce that. So there are other techniques we use. But Mikra din, you're supposed to force him out of that marriage. He's violating an isser every single moment he stays married to the grusha. So asks the taz, two lines down in the bold. Vamai. Lo nemo shehu mocha al kedush asa. Maybe the Kohen is mocha badavar. We just learned before the Kohen could be mochel on his kavod. So says the Kohen, I'm mochel on my kedusha, I'm mochel on my kuna, and let him stay married to the gerusha. Why is that not allowed? So maybe mechila doesn't really work. So answers the taz, the nearly atam. The reason is, the yachol limchol hu, why could a Kohen mochel on his kavod? Mishum di yeshlo hana mizeh, that's a key point, there's hana, there's benefit, that the Kohen has to get some benefit before he's mochel. If he enjoys something, the Torah did not want to ask him from enjoying life. So if he enjoys something, he can be mochel b'davar. Unless there's an explicit isser, the Torah says, you can't do. So in other words, normally, a Kohen has Kedusha, and he gets a certain hana by, we'll get to, let's say, serving a Rebbe in just a second, but he gets hana in serving the Rebbe. So he can be mochel b'davar as long as he gets hana. But if his hana is going to be in a way that goes against a blatant isser in the Torah, like marrying a grusha, so then he has no right to be mochel. He can only be mochel on something that's not against the Torah, and that he benefits. That's the criteria for the taz. So look at the proof now, what he says about Rabbeinu Tam. This is fascinating. Once you see the taz, it's a perfect explanation of the dialogue of Rabbeinu Tam. Remember, Rabbeinu Tam was challenged. Why did he let a Talmud bring water to him? And he said, because the Kohanim have no Kedusha b'zman hazeh. But then he said, if that's the case, so there should never be Kedusha. We should never have them get the first Aliyah. They shouldn't lead benching. And Rabbeinu Tam was shasuk. He was quiet. So why was he quiet? What was his real thinking? Was he wrong? So Taz has a brilliant explanation. So he says, if you look at the bold, continuing in the Taz now, we're around five lines down from the top. Hahu. Hahu Kohen, sheyotek mayim Rabbeinu Tam. The Kohen who is serving water to Rabbeinu Tam, v'adai hava nichalei shezachal l'sharis b'kodesh. The Talmud was certainly, was good for him, beneficial, enjoyable for him to be able to serve his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Tam. V'zuhi kedusha, so that was his kedusha. His kedusha was being able to serve his Rebbe water. V'nira, d'hav d'shasek, why was Rabbeinu Tam shasek? Why was he silent? Lav mishum shelohaya yodea l'hashiv. Not because Rabbeinu Tam didn't know the answer. Rabbeinu Tam is of the greatest Rishonim we have. Now, granted, sometimes even the great Rabbanim don't know every answer. And the Gemara Brachos says, sometimes you have to know how to say, I don't know the answer. I tell people all the time, if you have a Rebbe that never says, I don't know, then I would stop trusting that Rebbe. Rav Schechter, who knows a lot, he says, I don't know a lot when I speak to him, a lot. If Rav Schechter says, I don't know, certainly anyone beneath him should say, I don't know. So if they don't say, I don't know, they know every single answer, I would start questioning their reliability. Fine. So, yes, we have sometimes they say, I don't know. Taz didn't buy that the Rabbeinu Tam didn't know the answer to this question. You know why he was silent? Says the Taz, El shelo ratza li tol shem tamen chacham alof. V'lomer shebishfil zeh hu mutter. Now, what was going on here? A Kohen is only allowed to do service if he's getting a hana from it. Now, an Eved won't have Anah serving me. He'll have Anah serving a Talmud Chacham. He'll have Anah serving a Rebbe, a Rav. So, Rabbeinu Tam understood this. But when he is asked to explain himself, he didn't want to say, oh, you know, I'm Rabbeinu Tam. You know, I know the Tefillin Rashi and Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. You know, I kind of made it. We pass like Rabbeinu Tam all the time. I'm a big Rav. He didn't want to say that. So then he had to, like, say, I don't know. He stayed quiet. He was Shasuk. He didn't want to lie, but he didn't want to say that. But he really meant it. He really meant that he knew who he was. It's important that everyone knows their standing, where they lie, and therefore he stayed quiet. But the etzem truth is, the individual, the Kohen, was mochel because it was so nichalei for him to serve Rabbeinu Tam. So this is just a great instance of humility in this particular situation. But again, sometimes it's important to express, you know, where you stand and how you know yourself. The famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Sota, the last line where the Gemara says, "Mishemeis Rebbe batal nava." When Rebbe died, there's no longer humility in the world. If Yosef says, "What do you mean? I'm still around here. I've got anivus." He says, "What? You can't say you have anivus. Once you say you're an anav, that means you're not an anav anymore." And all the answers they say is because you have to know who you are. You have to know where your standing is. There's a maisa I read. I'm forgetting who this was from, though. But one of the great, it could be Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, I think it was him. He was in court once. Not against him, I don't think, but he was maybe a witness. And I think the lawyer said to him, "Rav Abramsky, is it really true that you're the greatest Jewish genius, the biggest, most learned, wisest man on earth?" And he says, "Yes, it's true." So the judge says, "Excuse me, isn't it against your religion to be so haughty? Isn't there a concept of humility?" He says, "It's true, but I'm under oath." So you have to tell the truth. So he had to tell the truth. That was the truth. Rabbeinu Tam knew the truth, but he didn't want to say it. So that's really why. But the underlying point, the psak here says the Taz, is read just the last few lines. What comes out here, Ulefizeh, the bold. Ulefizeh, according to this. Kolzman she'ein lakoin hanamima she'osem lacha lacher. If there's no benefit, if there's no hana for the Kohen to do service, aser l'shtamish mo. It's aser, even if he's mochel. Has to be a mechila where he's gaining something out of this. Otherwise, it's aser and it's kimo behektesh. So that's what the Taz says. Has to have hana as part of the mechila. So Mishabrua now, you look at number 8. Mishabrua writes, he quotes, look at Imlo Machal Akach. The Shulchan Aruch writes again, that Kohen cannot do service for you if he's not mochel. Aval, says the Mishabrua number 8, in mochel, if the Kohen's mochel, mutter shekavad akuna, he's allowed to be mochel, kigon kimo liftach rishon, let someone else speak first, o lito mana yafe, rishon, let the other guy choose his piece of steak first, v'kadoma, midvarm shanu mechuyim lekavdam, he could be mochel. Niten lam rak lanasam, lefikach biyado limchel, v'liten rishus l'yisrael l'shamish bo, it's allowed, he's mochel. But then the Mishabrua quotes from the Taz, v'yesh Misha Omer, this is the Taz in the bold. There are those who hold, she'eino yachol liten rishus l'shamish bo. A Kohen cannot give permission to use, you have his services used, ela imkein yeshlo ezahana, unless he's gaining some benefit. Like what? Kigon b'schar, is being paid for it, o afilu b'chinim, or even for free, ladam chashiv, to serve an important person, shu'chofech l'shamsho v'nehenem mizeh, that he wants to serve, such as the Talmud and Rabbeinu Tam. If he's being paid for it, he's certainly allowed. I'm sure there are many Kohanim who do, they work for a living. So some of them might have some very heavy labor. It might be, unbecoming of a Kohen to do such a voda, such tircha. But he's being paid for it, so he's getting hana, that's allowed. Or even if it's for free, Mishabrua says if there's a benefit, he feels connected to the Rebbe, he feels connected to the Adam Chashev, all this would be allowed. But the Mishabrua does conclude, tov l'hachmir l'chachila, one should be machmir. In other words, you should really not let a Kohen do service for you unless he's gaining something out of this. But if it's just time to do it, then it really a person should avoid it, even if the Kohen is mochel. There has to be hana attached to it as well. Now, needless to say as well, the Mishabrua concludes, ulishtamesh behen sheris bezuyos vadai yesh lazar. To have a Kohen do something disgusting, that certainly would not be allowed. So to have him, Kohen to take out the garbage, let's say, not in his own house, but let's say to take out the garbage in shul, he's helping out, it's best not to let the Kohen do that. Let someone else do that. A Kohen can do other things in the shul to help out, but maybe not take out the garbage or maybe clean the toilets. Those would be things that would be against the Kedusha of the Kohen. Now, that's all in the world of Mechila. So if the child Kohen, back to that case, if he's Mocha Medavar, if he's getting Hana from it, so then he's Mocha. But let's say there's no Hana. What a nut is there for the Kohen to wash the dishes and to clean the table? So maybe he wouldn't have to do the chores in the house. So the Be'er Lacha writes in number 9, says we had the other heter as well. He quotes, the Kohen, number 9 here, Efsher Shemutter. So that was all Mechila we discussed. But in terms of a Kohen to a Kohen, a father to a son, possibly that would be allowed as well. So since the father is a Kohen and the mother is an Ashes Kohen, They could tell the child who's a Kohen as well, they're playing on the same playing field. He quotes another position that might also help us out, might depend on the age of the child. Let's say the Kohen is an ignorant Kohen. He doesn't know much. He's not a Talmud Chacham. So if the child is young, if he's under the age of 10, I would assume he is classified as an Am HaAretz at that point. So maybe until he becomes a Talmud Chacham, so then you're allowed to use him. But maybe once he gets a level of Kohen, of a Talmud Chacham, maybe at that point you have a question what to work with. Now, that's in terms of Am HaAretz. So Mechila, maybe he's not Mochel. But again, Kohen to Kohen, or Kohen to an Am HaAretz, there's what to work with. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes another heter that we could be able to apply to this. Does Aruch HaShulchan, look at the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes, what about a Kohen Katan, a child, forgetting a parent right now? Can you ask a 10-year-old boy, Katan, to do something for you? So the Magen Avraham writes, if you look here at number 11 in the bold, V'lin Nira, the mitzvah ase de v'kidashto lo nemar al Kohen Katan. The mitzvah of the kiddushto, of sanctifying, of honoring a kohen, does not apply to a minor, to a katan kohen. Why? The aksiv, it says in the pasuk. Remember, the kiddushto was in the context of explaining why is there kedusha for a kohen. Ki es lechem elokecha hu makriv. The kohen is makriv the bread, is makriv the karbanos. The katan lav bar avodahu, and a katan may not do the avoda. A katan may not be makriv a karban. So since the kiddushto hinges on being makriv karbanos, a katan therefore, since he can't bring karbanos, he's not subject to the mitzvah of the kiddushto. That's what the Magen Avraham thinks. But Rabbi Kivi Eger argues and says, and that according to this, by the way, then certainly it would be okay for a parent to use the services of a child if he's under the age of 13 or she's under the age of 12. Well, I guess a girl never can ever bring karbanos. But at least for the boy, under the age of 13, so there's no mitzvah of the kiddushto, according to the Magen Avraham. So a parent could certainly ask child Cohen to do the karbanos, to do the avoda. But Rabbi Kivi Eger seems to argue. Rabbi Kivi Eger quotes a medrash that says, Kedoshim yihu lelokehem, number 12, asi l'rebuye demuchuyavim l'kadesh Cohen balmum. That this pasuk, it's really a sefer chinuch, says this extra pasuk, the kedoshim you, comes to include that even a Kohen who's a Baal Mum, you have to show honor and respect and sanctify him. Af agav de'enu b'chlal es karbon Hashem al-kecha hu makiv. Even though a Baal Mum certainly cannot be makiv karbonos, in the end of the day, we include him in the pasuk of the kedoshim. So too, maybe just like we bring in the Kohen Baal Mum, we could also bring in a Katan, who's also La Bar Vodehu, maybe he too can be brought in the Vikidasho, and in fact, some poskim say, Vikidasho applies equally to children as well. Halach Lamaisa, it's clear how we poskim, but I'll just bring the words of the Piskei Tshuvos in number 13, and we'll finish with this. The Piskei Tshuvos writes, Av ve'em lishtamish bebanim Kohen, a parent to use the services of their child, the Kohen, pashit, Ubarur, it's clear and obvious. Shemutter, l'shemizakin behenan banam b'mitzvah chashuva. It's a yemizakin to a mitzvah. Every time a parent says, "Get me water, do this, do that," you just created a mitzvah and an opportunity for a child. That Torah chayava es aben bichvodem. So the parent creates a mitzvah for them, and the Torah, of course, obligated them to listen to you. So therefore, they must listen, even though they are kohanim. So I guess we will stop here. But if anybody has any suggestions, I'll look at the chat now for suggestions of topics. I'll look through right now. Let me know.